T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Timmy, I had said over the weekend, I'm sitting there getting into these discussions about win totals, that it's going to take, in my guesstimation, 92, 93 wins to win the division. That would leave the Brewers with 53 wins to get. So at what point do you really start paying attention to these standings and that win total as it would creep up in that direction?
Pennant race. We're in the middle of one, Bill.
Yep.
I mean, it's really the way you got to look at it, and I think that's the way Craig Counsell looks at it. If you look at the win totals here thus far, I mean, the St. Louis Cardinals and the New York Mets around that 35 win mark. Up from there, look at the Diamondbacks at 38. They're sitting right there. Cubs and Phillies at 39. Brewers obviously at 40, Braves at 41, and then, of course, the freight train out in L.A., quickly becoming a Dodger hater as well. It just looks too easy for them at times.
Right.
It does, and they're a good baseball team. But outside of that, we have yet to see the run, Bill. We really haven't. I heard you earlier talking about the games lost against the Marlins. Well, look what happened when they salvaged the final game. They went on to win the next three.
Mm-hmm.
For a four-game winning streak. And so will that happen here in San Diego? I don't know, because San Diego just got out of a slugfest. And the Brewers' bats better hit some home runs here. They need the two- and three-run homers in this series to come out of there. They still have a chance here on the eight-gamer to come out at 4-4 by taking the series, but you take it one at a time. But you're in a pennant race as we speak.
I guess, as Craig Counsell put it yesterday, the bright spots coming out of the series was Aguilar's back seemingly on track. He's starting to hit the ball, and he's out over 200 now. Travis Shaw with a bomb as well, and he seems to be hitting the ball a little bit better. You still got Yasmani Grandal still stroking it. I mean, there's some good things. I guess the bad would be that Jimmy went, you know, a few innings before his control completely fell apart, and the fact that you lose the first two games, the second one being in heartbreaking fashion, not the best way to go. So depending on what side of the clouds you want to lean will depend on where you find your silver lining.
Yeah, and really that first base position has been discussed a ton this year. And when you look at all the options that they've got now you get Grandal spiked into that situation. You heard Craig Counsell over the weekend talk about, hey, yeah, we're going to be facing a lot of lefties. It's a good chance to get Grandal in there, keep him in the lineup, have him play first base. So you've got potentially Zeus, Thames, possibly Shaw, Grandal, possibly Braun, all sort of decisions that can come up as we move along here. And it's all in an effort. Honestly, Bill, Keston Hira, it's not long. It can't be much longer. We see a little, as you mentioned, Zeus starting to swing a little bit better. Thames is probably the most productive over there. And then I was really impressed with Travis Shaw yesterday in the game. If you look at his at-bat after the Thames homer, he was down 0-2, fought off some pitches, didn't look lost, and that's the thing, and he jabbed a base hit to left. He had a couple of base hits the opposite way. So you do have light at the end of the tunnel with some of these guys, but a lot of choices, too.
Let me ask you this about pitching, because I'm watching not necessarily the Brewers, but just about every other team be thrown into, we need starting pitching, we need left-handed relievers. Did the Brewers make a mistake by not getting somebody prior, because it certainly seems like the price is going to be high here at the trade deadline?
Well, we saw what happened over the weekend when Will Smith got in the game. So you knew you were behind the eight ball when the other guy's closer is there. Now slide Josh Hader back up, and then people play different against you.
Mm-hmm.
Over the weekend, we saw, as I said, Will Smith, but now Kirby Yates is a guy you've got to beat to the finish line. You got to have that leader. It's going to be done over the weekend. So my estimation, maybe, and we'll see how Gio pops back here. And a big part of this is Chacin tonight. But it's tough to say it's a mistake quite yet, but it's leaning that way. And I think it's more of a mistake after you had the injuries to Knebel and Jeffress not to fix that right away.
Hey, Tim, I wanted to ask you, when you talked about the first base position, is there a move there? I mean, is this good that you start to see Eric Thames put some numbers up? Is he then, in your estimation, a trade possibility? Do you put that together, Jesus? Or if indeed you're going to say we're going to try to fix this thing and Keston Hiura is our future, do you start to look in a different direction?
It's the big question. It's one of the big questions. And Thames, boy, he looks really good in a pennant race off the bench, left-handed with pop. And he does a spot start here and there. A little bit of versatility, although sort of a trip to Hollywood in the outfield defensively. But I don't know. I'm starting to like that side of things if Zeus off the bench. You remember what Zeus did last year, man, fouling off two-strike pitches. Deep counts, way deep counts, a lot of two-strike RBIs. He's another guy. Boy, wouldn't you like to have him in a pennant race at that level, however, and that's a big caveat. Coming off the bench, right-handed guy with pop, and he'll fight you 10, 11 pitches deep. So I like those options again, but I don't know if there's an easy solution. We might be seeing the solution now. It's just an absolute platoon. Now we might have a three-man platoon in Zeus, Thames, and Grandal.
And now we get Yulish Chacin back. Looks like he's going to start come today. And how big of a start is this for him? Man. Because if he comes back and pitches really well and he goes back to being Yulish Chacin, that takes a whole lot of pressure off of that rotation.
Oh, is it a big start for Yulish? Yeah, it is. And Yulish, do your Chase Anderson impersonation, please. And what I mean by that is keep your team in a ball game.
Yeah.
That's the main thing for Yulish right here as he builds toward the end of the season. It takes a different perspective to look at a team when Chacin could or should or would or will do what he did last year down the stretch, Bill. I mean, that will look at this rotation entirely different if Chacin gets back on track. He is imperative, man. If he does, now it's Woody and Davies and Chacin. I like those chances.
You know what? When you talk about Davies and Woodruff, I'll tell you what, you can talk about some unsung heroes. These guys, we knew they had the potential to be good. But to come in and kind of fill the bill when you are really, you're kind of just treading water as a starting rotation, that you talk about a breath of fresh air, man. You think where you'd be if those two guys didn't hold off.
That's the scary part. Think about that.
Yep.
Woody was still, you know, cutting his teeth, and we got maturation issues and Corbin Burns infections or whatever it is. Could you imagine? I mean, I thought about that yesterday, and don't like to talk too much about that side of the what-ifs, but, boy, what if? Those are the surprises that Craig Counsell expects every year. And he says they're coming. He just doesn't know in what form.
What do you think, and this is one thing I did hear in regards to the Brewers making a trade, what would you think Eric Thames would bring on the market right now? Because he's sitting at 258. He finally got the double-digit home run, and he's had only 151 at-bats. So do you think that he is valued a lot higher at this point, and he then could be an American League chip to maybe get you a left-handed arm as a DH?
Do you want to, as I said, off the bench, you would lose that left-handed pop off the bench. And what would it get in return? That's obviously the question. Would it get you a prospect to kind of replenish a little bit? Would it get you an arm? It might get you a reliever in that middle range.
I'm thinking it gets you a good left-handed reliever if you have to put a prospect with it.
If you add to it, yeah, if you bundle up and tack on. I wouldn't mind that either, but hell, they may need him at this point.
Yeah.
You know, if Zeus isn't going to get his stuff together and Shaw doesn't get going to allow some further opportunity, they might need Eric Thames on a daily basis. In my opinion right now, Eric Thames should be playing every day. Lefty, lefty, it doesn't matter. I'd give him a role.
Would you put Hernan Perez out there more often?
Nope. Super sub, man. He's doing his job. That dude is awesome.
When he's had an opportunity to be a starter, it hasn't worked out real well.
Not really when he gets extended playing time, and I think he's fallen into that role that's very difficult in baseball. And I just was reading, I'm sure you saw that same article, about him possibly, you know, being a coach and wanting to be a manager. He made a couple of plays over the weekend, Bill, that Lorenzo Cain-like in terms of baseball intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were amazing.
Covering first base. Covering first base when the pitcher did not, and having the foresight to see that was that. Now, granted, it doesn't always turn out perfectly, but this was a guy that thought, "Uh-oh, I need to go to that area because the pitcher didn't cover first base."
3-6-4 double plays when it wasn't a bunt. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's twice in the same series. That was amazing. So, yeah, no, I'd keep. I like Benny Gamble and HP off the bench. I think they're in good shape there.
Yeah, I'm liking that situation. I guess, Tim, what I'm saying is I wish that you could get Jesus off the schneid and not have to worry about this. So you have an expendable piece that's a proven commodity that maybe can garner you a little bit more in the trade market. Because we all know what this team needs if they're going to make the legitimate run and get to the postseason and go beyond. They have to have more pitching.
They do. They have to have better pitching, and whether that comes from internal or external, and there's a piece moved, it really kind of sucks that the options can help you big time in a season, and the options for a player or the lack thereof can really hurt you, and that's where they're hurting the Brewers right now.
Hey, question before I let you go: who's more of a threat right now, in your opinion, the Cardinals, who are starting to kind of heat up a little bit, or is it the Cubs still?
Well, I for sure the Cubs, but the Cards can't rule them out. They're right there, 35. They have a good week and a half or so. They're right in the thick of things. We're mid-June here, and we're in a pennant race, and I heard you talk about, comparing last year to this year. Guys, there's new stories. There's new things. Just enjoy it, man. It's a pennant race right in the dead of June. And the weather's going to heat up, tailgating gets going, Summerfest, festivals all over the joint. And this is a pennant race, man. Enjoy it for what it is this year. Hey, we're Brewers fans.
Yep.
We're really all told in 50 years.
And we're in it. And we're in it. I agree, man.
Legitimately, we didn't win 8 in a row to get 3.5 out of first.
Right.
I mean, this is like right in it from the start. It's cool.
Always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk again next week.
All right, Bill, thanks.
All right, buddy. See you. There you go. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, and they will treat you fair. That's the way they do it. They've been doing it for 80-plus years. Call them 844-PRIDE if you're looking for a new job, maybe just a new team, or your first one. Give them a shot. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.